Okay, good morning. Let's have a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for today, Lord. Thank you for a new day of life. And Father, we pray now for your blessing on our time. We pray you might help us to focus on your words, on the verses that we read. We pray that you might bless them to our hearts. We pray you might apply your word and raise us from the dead if we're still in our sins. We pray you might forgive us for our wickedness. And Father, we also pray for the mission trip in Brazil. We pray for the brothers and sisters there. We just pray you might give them an open door according to your will. And pray you might open the hands of the people to receive your words. And we pray that, could it be, you might save many there. And we thank you that you do all things perfectly. And Father, we just praise you for who you are. And just pray you might forgive us for our wickedness and help us to do your will today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, today we're going to look in the Bible at some verses that talk about being cut off and how the wicked are cut off. But the children of God are not cut off. They continue on and they will remain and dwell forevermore with God in heaven. But if we're not saved, our lives are going to be cut short. And especially today, as now we've learned about how May 21st, 2011 is going to be the day of the rapture. It's judgment day. And that's the day when God's going to cut it short. He's going to cut off this world and it's it. It's the end. And so we can pray to God now that could it be that we might not be cut off, that we might continue on. And the phrase cut off, you'll find that many, many, many times in the Bible. As you read through the Bible, you'll see that. And it's used to refer to something, to a complete separation, to be removed, or something that's taken away. Let's look at Exodus chapter 4, where we'll see it's used in talking about circumcision, where the foreskin is cut off. In Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 24, it says, "And it came to pass by the way in the inn that Jehovah met him," that's Moses, "and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, 'Surely a bloody husband art thou to me.' So he let him go. Then she said, 'A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision.'" As you see here, the phrase cut off the foreskin of her son, it was completely removed. It was taken away. It was separated from him. And of course, circumcision in the Bible is referring to spiritual circumcision, when God cuts off our sins. He takes away our sins. Go to Colossians 2, where we'll see how at salvation, when God circumcises us, he puts off our sins from us. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, it says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." So see here how God uses this kind of language of putting off those sins at the moment of spiritual circumcision when God saves you. And so that's what this idea of this word cut off, it's a removal, it's a taking away, it's a separation. And thank God that that's our hope, is that God can do that. He can take our sins away, because we all got multitudes of sins. And yet God uses language like in, was it Psalm 103, where he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And so that's when he cuts off those sins, they're gone. If you are truly born from above, all your sins are completely gone, because Christ paid for them. And you'll never have to pay for them with death. But if we don't have our hearts circumcised by God, then God uses this phrase cut off many, many times to how we're cut off from the kingdom of God. You'll see it'll say, when you go through the verses, cut off from his people, cut off from among his people, cut off from Israel, cut off from the congregation, cut off from the congregation of Israel, cut off from the city of Jehovah, cut off from the earth. And even in Leviticus 22, it says, cut off from my presence, God says. And so over and over again, you're cut off from the people of God. You're cut off from his kingdom. Go to Genesis 17, verse 14, where it's also talking about if you're not circumcised. And of course, this was talking, God was talking to Abraham in Genesis 17, 14. And again, the physical circumcision pointing to that spiritual circumcision. And in Genesis 17, verse 14, it says, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And that's another thing you'll notice if you go through these verses about being cut off. It's always the soul. That soul shall be cut off from among his people. That soul shall be cut off from Israel or from the congregation. It's always that soul, you know, who you are, your whole body. And it's going to be body and soul. We know when there's complete annihilation on October 21st, 2011. And it's you. It's me. If we're not saved, it's your soul. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, that's how we all have a precious soul. Here we are, all of us created in the image of God. And yet because of our sins, God can cut your soul off and you'll lose your own soul. You know, think about that. You'll lose your soul. You'll lose your life and you will not exist forever and ever. You'll be gone. And that's the punishment for sin. Go to Exodus chapter 12. And in many of these verses, especially in Leviticus and Numbers and in the Old Testament, when God was, would transgress one of God's laws in certain situations, they are to be cut off from Israel or cut off from his people. And like here in Exodus 12, it's talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover and Unleavened Bread. And in Exodus 12, verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And then in verse 19 as well, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. And again, we know leaven in the Bible points to sin. And so God had many different kinds of laws. And in certain situations, if you transgressed that law, you were to be cut off. And the cutting off is to be by death. Go to Exodus chapter 31, where we'll see if you transgress the law of the Sabbath day, you were to be put to death and cut off. Exodus 31, verse 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So you see here how it says he shall surely be put to death, and then God says you're cut off. And so that's what the cutting off is by death. Go to Psalm 88. Psalm 88, we'll also see how the dead are said to have been cut off from God's hand. In Psalm 88, verses 4 and 5, it says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy hand. And so here we have the dead that are lying in the grave and whom thou rememberest no more. God remembers them no more. And you'll see a couple times when you look up the phrase cut off that God will cut off the remembrance of the unsaved. He'll cut off the memory of them. And so you'll be, if we're not saved and come May 21st and we're still not saved and God cuts us off, it's judgment day. There's no more hope of salvation after that. God will forget about you forever. You'll be gone and never come into his mind again. He's going to cut off the wicked from the city of Jehovah and cut off the remembrance of them. And how sad that is. And here, notice it says they are cut off from thy hand. And, you know, there's a beautiful verse in Psalm 145, I think, where God says He opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. You know, or like in Acts 17, how in Him we live and move and have our being. Or it says also in Acts 17, how He giveth to all life and breath and all things. You know, the reason why we're all alive right now is God is giving you life. God has given you this day to live. And He tests us to see how we're going to live. Are we crying out to Him for mercy? Do we see our sin? Has God opened our eyes so we see that we're nothing but a wicked, filthy sinner and that we're in desperate need of salvation? And so, but if He cuts you off, if you're cut off from His hand, you have no more life. He removes His hand from us, any one of us. If He removes our hand, His hand from us, it's nothing but death, because He is life and He's the giver of life. And so to be cut off is by death. And go to Psalm 37. You'll see cut off over and over again in that psalm. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, or Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of Him shall be cut off. Verse 28 and 29. For Jehovah loves judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. How about verse 34? Wait on Jehovah and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. In verses 37 and 38, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. So you notice the constant contrast in this psalm. How the righteous, those that are saved, are going to continue on. They're going to inherit the land and dwell forevermore in the kingdom of God. But the wicked, the transgressors, if we're not saved, are cut off. And just like here in verses 37 and 38, the contrast of the end, because we all have an end. The end of the perfect man, of the upright, the one that God has saved and washed away their sins, the end of that man is peace, eternal peace. Remember Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." It's a true eternal peace that the children of God are going to have. But the end of the wicked is cut off. You're done. You're cut short and you'll never live again and you'll be dead forever. And God talks about a separation of the saved and the unsaved, where the unsaved are cut off. And so God separates the two. Go to Matthew 13, where God will use the word sever. Or to separate or divide. In Matthew 13, in the parable that Jesus gave of the kingdom of heaven being likened unto a net that's cast into the sea. In Matthew 13, verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so you see that even today God has begun to do the separating the wheat from the tares. But on the last day, May 21st, 2011, Judgment Day, God will completely sever the wicked from among the just. And no more will there be those that claim to be Christians but nobody knows if they're truly saved. God's going to show who are His and who are not His. And none of us deserve to be His. So we can beg God, "Oh, Lord, please don't cut me off with the wicked. Please don't sever me from among the just. We want to be raptured. We want to go to heaven and have that peace forevermore." So we want to examine ourselves today. Because once you're separated, once that takes place, then you can't switch sides. You know, if you're left behind, you can never then get in. Remember in Luke 16, God says there's a great gulf fixed in that parable of the rich man and Lazarus. In Luke 16, and in verse 26, where God, or starting in verse 25, but Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So it's a complete separation. It's a complete cutoff. It's a complete, you're taken away completely. And you can never get back and get into the kingdom once you're left behind. Or go to Revelation 21, verse 27. Well, God will say that nothing is ever going to enter into heaven that's defiled. Never again will there be sin in the kingdom of God, like it is on earth, where the outward kingdom of God is saved and unsaved, because we don't know who is truly saved. But in Revelation 21, verse 27, and there is talking about the new heavens and the new earth, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so also in Revelation 22, we could look at that verse in verses 14 and 15. It says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." So you see the separation, that the kingdom of God is only those which are written in the Lamb's book of life, but without, those that are left out, those that are left behind, are the unsaved, and they'll be destroyed. Let's go to Job 21. Another way that this word cut off is used is also to refer to, it's used in the context of an untimely death, where you die before your time, where your life is cut short. And that's where we are today, where God is going to cut it short. We have less than 2 years to go, and then God's going to cut short 7 billion lives. You know, we all have normally we expect to live, 70 or 80 years. But God's going to cut it short, and that's what's going to happen on May 21st, 2011. And here in Job 21, verses 17 to 21, it says, "How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst?" And, we see day to day, if you read the newspaper or hear the news, there's always reports of people's lives being cut short, where they're cut off. They're young, and they get into drugs or whatever, into trouble, or even an accident or whatever. And lives are always cut short. Every day, God's cutting short certain people's lives. Even before the end, millions of people are still going to die before the end, and lives are going to be cut short. And so that's why every day is so precious. Every day is a day that you can pray. Every day is a day when you can read God's word and seek his salvation and strive to enter in at the straight gate, because you don't want to miss out. You don't want to come short of it, because how terrible that would be if you're seeking God, and you think you're on your way to heaven but yet you got caught up with the cares of this life. You got snared. You got snared by your job or by your school and what other people think. Who cares what people think? What does God think? Seek him with all your heart, because you don't want to come short. You don't want to come up to that last day on May 21st, and then when God raptures the people, and here you are left here, and then you realize, I didn't make it. I came short. And now we know it's not a gospel of works. You can't work hard enough and get into the kingdom. And that's what keeps us trembling. That's what keeps us fearing God, is because it's all up to God. There is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. Today is a time to tremble, a time to cry out to God for mercy and seek his face, because you don't want to come short of the kingdom. And so here, notice the language: when the number of his months is cut off in the midst. Go to Isaiah 38, where we'll see about Hezekiah, where God had come to him and was going to cut him short. But what happened? he turned to God and he prayed to God. And God added 15 years to him. In Isaiah 38, remember in verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith Jehovah, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. So how do you like that? And that's what's happened today, isn't it? God's given us all the death sentence. May 21st, 2011, that's it. That's it. That's the day. So you know you're not going to go past that on this earth. Well, we know there's the 5 months, but for all intents and purposes, that's it. That's the judgment day. So what did Hezekiah do when he got the death sentence? Verse 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto Jehovah and said, Remember now, O Jehovah, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And then notice what God does in verse 4. Then came the word of Jehovah to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of David thy father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto your days 15 years. So, wow. You know, he was, and then notice Hezekiah in verse 9, he wrote these things down. In verse 9, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. And that's the way we're all in that same boat. We're all going to be deprived of those years on this earth. Verse 11, I said, I shall not see Jehovah, even Jehovah in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. And he will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Jehovah, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So will you recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Jehovah was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instrument all the days of our life in the house of Jehovah. And what a beautiful prayer of Hezekiah here, you know, and that God, in love to his soul, cast all his sins behind his back and made him to live. And that's who's going to be praising God in the house of Jehovah, singing great praises to God forever and ever. The living. You don't want to be dead. Dead, when you're dead, you got nothing. And you're not going to be praising God. You're dead. And so how terrible is that, to just be a dead and then to be destroyed? But no, if you're alive, if God makes you alive and you can sing praises to God like we did before, you know, and how much better in heaven sing glory to God because he's worthy. And so we pray to God now that he doesn't cut us off in the midst, because that day is coming very soon. And how about in the days of Noah? This already happened once. God already cut the world short one time in the days of Noah. Go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. Remember when God destroyed the whole world with the flood? All those people, they had expectations. And in that day, how much longer did they live than us? Remember Noah? He lived to be 950 years. So these people that lived back then, they had a long life ahead of them. You know, hundreds of years. And yet God cut them short. In Genesis 9:11, he uses that word cut off. Genesis 9, verse 11, And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And, you know, but today we don't live hundreds of years. We can normally expect, what, 70 or 80 years, like it says in Psalm 90. Let's read that in Psalm 90. Or we'll see then, God even uses the word phrase cut off there. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, it says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We fly away. There's not much longer on this earth. Our lives are very short, no matter when you live, because it doesn't go on forever. It's soon cut off, and we fly away. And so we don't want to put any trust in this world and the things of this world. We don't want to love this world. We want to seek the kingdom of God, because that's going to go on forever and ever. But what happens is our sins, they deceive us and they get us into trouble and they take our eyes off of Christ, and it cuts our lives short, especially today. Look at Psalm 55, verse 23. It's an interesting verse. We're talking about the unsaved, talking about bloody and deceitful men. In Psalm 55, 23, it says, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. You know, we were created to live. Remember, God created Adam and Eve perfectly. They were created to live on and live forever. And yet, because of our sins, we're not going to live out half our days even. How about in Proverbs 10, verse 27? Proverbs 10, verse 27. Says, the fear of Jehovah prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. How about Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17? Well, God will ask a question. Ecclesiastes 7, I'll read verses 16 and 17. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time? You know, God's asking us the question, why should you die before your time? And that reminds us of Ezekiel 33 and that question where God tells the house of Israel, you know, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why are you going to die? Why do you want to die? You know, because if you hate God, you love death, the Bible says. So why do you want to die before your time? Seek God now. Pray to God now. Read the Bible. Pray to God for mercy. That maybe God will save you and you won't die. Because why do you want to die before your time? Because we know we have such a short time period left. And so we're all going to die before our time if we're not saved. And so now's the time to turn. Like that Spurgeon sermon, you know, turn or burn. That's where we are now. You know, it's turn or burn time, because God's coming back with a vengeance, with fire, and he's going to burn up this whole world. And if we don't turn and repent and cry to God for mercy, well, then we have no hope, because that's the only hope. We can turn now and cry to God, and maybe he will save us. It's not a guarantee. You know, it's not a works gospel where if you repent of yourself and then you're going to get into heaven. But God has to save us, and praise God, there's great hope today because God is saving many people. And just like God, remember Jesus said in Mark 9, you know, if your hand offends you, what should you do? Cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. You know, get rid of those sins. You know, it's not doing you any good anyway. So, or else what's going to happen if you don't? You're going to be cast into hellfire, in the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And we know that's complete annihilation, where you never come back. And so, let's cut off these sins that we have. We all know we got sins, and let's pray to God. Help, oh God, help me to repent. Help me to turn from these, because they're leading me right down to death. Why do you want to die before your time? But we can warn man. You know, we bring the message and we warn man. We say you only have a few months left to go, and now's the time to cry to God. But we always think we have tomorrow. Go to Ezekiel chapter 12. We don't think God's going to cut us short. We don't think he's going to cut us off. In Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 26 to to 28. Or actually, let's start reading in verse 21. Ezekiel 12, verse 21. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am Jehovah, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord Jehovah. Again the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he sees is for many days to come, and he prophesies of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord Jehovah. So notice what they're saying. They're saying that it's for days to come. You're prophesying of times that are far off when you come with judgment day in the end and the end of the world. That's what people, no. It's not coming in 2011. We got many years to go. They still got to build the temple in Jerusalem, right? And then there's another 1,000 years on this earth. And that'll be the end. They're saying it's far off. But no, what does God say? The word that I have spoken shall be done, and it's not going to be prolonged anymore. God is going to do it in our day. Go to Amos chapter 6, very similar. And notice this is the house of Israel that was saying this. This is those that say that they know God. In Amos chapter 6, I'll start reading in verse 1. God says, Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calne and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So notice here who he's talking to. Woe to those that are at ease in Zion. And remember, Zion is the kingdom of God, and on earth, the outward representation of the kingdom of God, the churches that were for many years. And God says, Woe to those that are at ease in Zion, those that are comfortable. Hey, I accepted Christ. I go to church. I got baptized. I'm okay. I'm at ease. And notice, they're stretching themselves on the couches and singing to the sound of the viol and making instruments of music, you know, and that's what it is, you know, in the churches today. It's mostly a time of entertainment, and it's all just peace and safety. Woe to those that are at ease. And remember in 1 Thessalonians 5, God says, let's read that, in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when they say peace and safety, then what happens? 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And so, you know, we don't want to, don't be snared by those kind of gospels. They're very comfortable. They're very attractive, but they're not true, and they lead to destruction. That's what's terrible about them. And notice those that are at ease, they're trusting in the mountain of Samaria. Remember, mountains in the Bible refers to kingdoms, and Samaria was the capital of Israel. And so this is saying those that are trusting in their church, they're trusting in that outward representation of the kingdom of God. They're trusting in the mountain of Samaria, in the churches. And notice, which are named chief of the nations. And that word chief is that Hebrew word resheth, which is, you know, the first fruits. Remember that study from a couple years ago where the resheth are the first fruits, Christ the first fruits, Those are the first fruits that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here they're named, and that word named, that's a word that talking about like being expressed by name. You're named chief of the nations. They're taking on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're called Christians. They're named chief of the nations. It's pointing to those that they claim to be Christians. They're trusting in their church, and they're at ease, peace and safety. And wow, that's real. We can see that today so clearly. Isn't that what's going on? And so we want to stay away from that. And because look in verse 3, ye that put far away the evil day. They're putting that judgment day far away and causing the seed of violence to come near. They're bringing false gospels and they're doing violence to the law. They're doing violence to people by not bringing them the truth. Go to Isaiah 56. Where God uses language again about how man always thinks they have tomorrow. In Isaiah chapter 56, verses 9 to 12, it says, "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they're all ignorant, they're all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." You know, they keep looking, we always think we got the best ahead of us, you know. Tomorrow's even going to be better than today, and the next day even better, you know. It's all just going to get better. And go on. But no, it's wine and strong drink. It's false gospels. It's not true. That's why God tells us, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, we're not guaranteed another breath. And today we know our time is very limited. But by God's mercy, you know, the children of God, our lives, if we are truly saved, our lives will not be cut short. We will get to continue on. And, you know, because when things end, that's sad. You know, if you're having a great day, you know, sometimes you think, "Oh, I wish this day would never end. You know, it's so beautiful and we're having such a nice time." You know, when things end, that brings sorrow. It's sad if you're enjoying it. Now, if you're not enjoying it, you know, "I can't wait for this day to end. You know, I'm having a bad day." You know, then the end is great, you know, and you can't wait. But, you know, many today, you know, are enjoying life, and it's a beautiful world that God's made. Even with all the sin, it still has its enjoyments. And by God's mercy, you know, if He does save you, you're not going to end on May 21, 2011. You're going to keep going. And go to Psalm 102. Now, in Psalm 102, notice the title of this psalm. In Psalm 102, it's "A Prayer of the Afflicted When He Is Overwhelmed and Poureth Out His Complaint Before Jehovah." Now, this word complaint, you know, it's not like us. We're a bunch of complainers and we moan and groan over the littlest things. But this is a prayer of the afflicted when he's overwhelmed and he sees his sins and his enemies are against him, you know. And so this is a good thing to do, is to pour out your complaint before Jehovah. Tell him all about your grief and all your sorrow over your sin. And let's read like verse 11. "My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations." And also in verse 23, "He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations." And that's a great prayer for us today. "O God, take me not away in the midst of my years." Because all of us, he will do that if we're not saved. When judgment day comes, he's going to take all of us away in the midst of our days. Verse 25, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." You see, God's servants, they continue on. They remain. They dwell forevermore in the new heavens and the new earth. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Proverbs 2, verse 21, "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." So see how the upright and the perfect shall remain. Remember, wasn't that the same language in Psalm 37, where it marked the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So here also, and we know Christ too, he is the upright, he is perfect, but so are his people as he saves them by God's amazing grace. And so they remain in the new heaven and the new earth. Go to Romans 9, where God tells us he's cutting it short in righteousness. He's going to finish his word. And praise God, he's the end is better than the beginning. God's saving more people now than he did through all out history. In Romans 9, 27 and 28, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work," and that's the word, you know, the Greek word logos, "for he will finish the word and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short word," same word again, "short word will the Lord make upon the earth." And that's talking about how he's going to be saving a great many people here in these last days. He's cutting it short in righteousness. And he's going to be saving a great multitude which no man can number as he finishes his word, as he completes his whole salvation program. And the only reason, of course, that the children of God can continue on and not be cut off is because the Lord Jesus Christ was cut off for us. Go to Daniel chapter 9, where we read about the Messiah and how he was going to be cut off. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel 9, verse 26. "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." But notice that the Messiah shall be cut off. Also in Isaiah 53, we read how Christ was cut off from the land of the living, as he paid for our sins. In Isaiah 53, verse 8, "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." It wasn't for himself. It wasn't because of his sins. It was for the sins of God's elect. And let's just read one last passage to close in Isaiah 65, where we read about this glorious future that you have, if you're truly saved, ahead of you. It's way better than this earth, that the future you might have thought you had on this earth. You know, we all maybe thought we had a nice future ahead of us for many years, but then we've learned that the end of the world is coming. And so we might have been saddened by that. You know, we were really looking forward to certain things in the future. But you know, the future is even better if you're a child of God, because the world is coming to an end. Because God's going to create a new one. Look at Isaiah 65, verse 17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of Jehovah, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Jehovah. So what a beautiful hope that we can have if we're truly saved. And notice that as the days of a tree are the days of my people. You know, trees live a long time. And you go out maybe in your yard or in the parks, you know, there's some old oak trees, you know, and they've been there for years, you know. And so God's using that kind of a figure. And so too will the children of God long enjoy the work of their hands. It's not going to be any more vain things. It's no more vanity, you know, because this life is filled with vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Why? Because it all ends. It all comes to an end. And that ruins everything. But not so with heaven, not so with the kingdom of God. It goes on, and God's elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands by God's mercy. Well, let's stop there and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for this time we could read the Bible. We thank you for these verses. Oh God, we pray, Father, that you might not cut us off, Lord, in the midst of our years. We pray, Father, that could it be you might save us. We don't deserve it, Lord. We deserve nothing. We just thank you so much, Father, that you're so merciful, so gracious, and so just. And we pray for our children, Father. We pray for your mercies on them. Could it be, Lord, you might change their heart, that you might make them born from above. We pray you might not cut them off, Lord. We all deserve it, Father. We should have been cut off a long time ago. We thank you that you've given us these years we've had. And Father, we pray you might help us to serve you till the end. And we just pray that you might be in wrath, you might remember mercy on us. And Father, we pray for the people in Brazil on the mission trip there. We just pray for your will to be done. And we pray you might guide and direct them there to spread your word. Because we know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Father, we beg you, Father, please have mercy on us. And we just pray you may not cut us off. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess we're going to take a break, John, and then 11:30.